It's time for another look at another recommendation from the Culleton, Cusack, and Warmerdam Inquest into Ending Intimate Partner Violence in Ontario. With us, as always, to comment on these is Aaron Lee, who is the Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. Aaron, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks very much for continuing to have me and going through these recommendations.
It's been a really interesting journey, going through these things from these different perspectives, and they've got them separated into sections, and each section I just find to be so incredibly interesting and well thought out as well. They really put a lot of effort into ensuring that these recommendations are covering everything that they need to cover, and we're not even halfway through yet. But we've been talking about education and training, and we're into what I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is going to be a pretty challenging one. Number 31, the last one in this section, says, track whether mandated IPV-related professional education and training is completed by all justice system personnel. The reason I think this is so different is because there's so many different branches, so many different people involved.
This recommendation is really about accountability, right? It's really about accountability to your community, to your job, to victims in your province. It's really about how we monitor the implementation and the requirements related to training, and what are the consequences, and what is the value of that in terms of your performance review, in terms of your eligibility for promotion, or depending on what system you're in, where is the line drawn in terms of your responsibility and your requirements in terms of adhering to and complying to these types of required trainings? And I think that all of the systems, again, systemically, will have to look at who is responsible for the monitoring of that. What is the process around accountability? Who dictates the follow through and the requirement? You know, in our agency, we're required to do X amount of trainings every year, regardless of your knowledge and your status and your experience. Every single year, you're required to do X amount of trainings. And then we have it through a web-based server. And when you do it, we can see online that it's been completed. We can see what your score was. We can see that compliance. And then you have a period of time to have it done by. And then there's conversations and there's reminders, but there's an expectation. So really, it's about making sure that expectations are clear, reminders are given, and that there is a dedication and a commitment to this type of training for IPV. I think that there's a lot of change in a lot of sectors right now, especially since the pandemic. And I think it's like, who's had what training, and which training is first, and how do we prioritize what we do in training? And I think that we just have to make sure that what we understand is from this category around education and training, that the jury members were saying, not only is it required in all of these 10 areas, but it's required to be refreshed, and it's required to be complied with and done in systems. And those are the recommendations. And so, you know, in terms of implementation, it really is about how do we do that, and how far can we get in our systems in terms of that implementation and that monitoring of that in terms of accountability. And, you know, I think it's really about, you know, as you said, there are many, many systems. There are many, many layers. When we think about all of the layers of our justice system, where are the priorities, and who will monitor those pieces, and how will we know?
And that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think this will have to be sort of, at least to a degree, self-monitored? You can check all the boxes and so on to certain training. I think we've all gone through something similar to that. However, in the end, you know, I hate to say it this way, passing a test doesn't necessarily mean that the knowledge has been consumed.
I agree. And I think that there need to be tools developed where we're talking about it when we're doing reviews of cases and situations. I think we need to talk about, you know, did we miss something in this? What did we miss? How did that get missed? You know, are we not offering training, or is this something we assumed was part of another training and it wasn't? You know, I think training and education it requires quite a significant commitment. And I think it will be a very interesting recommendation in terms terms of how it flows and how it's implemented in, and definitely how it's monitored.
Yeah, for sure. It remains to be seen how it would be rolled out, but I'm sure they have some really great minds who would be working on it, and hopefully drawing from other areas where they've done this type of at least mass training, if you will, for lack of perhaps a better term, in order to get this undertaking complete.
I think we need to understand that if you look right, if you go reverse us back to recommendation four, I think it is, but it's really about having an implementation committee for the recommendations overall. It's about investing those resources. It's about connecting the dots between this inquest set of recommendations, and now looking at the Mass Casualty Commissioner's report and looking at where are the connections. I mean, that report says, intimate partner violence and violence in relationships is an epidemic that requires pandemic level engagement and response. So how do we connect the dots between recommendations from an inquest and from the Mass Casualty Commission? And how do we make sure that we look at recommendations like recommendation number four, if I'm not mistaken, about implementation and monitoring. If without implementation and monitoring, how do we know what's going on in terms of the recommendations? And I think that I failed you. I think it's recommendation number two. And I think that we need a recommendation number five, which are really about the implementations and the monitoring. And I think that that's a really important piece. And I think the province and the players, we need to actually sit down and talk about where that dedication and that commitment will come from in terms of seeing these recommendations to fruition.
I think the key word there is implementation. It really is because, it's you can say it any way you want, getting it done or whatever. I mean, it's always a journey. We just hope that someday we can look back and say, well, that's the implementation is behind us now. Now we're just sort of maintaining this and moving forward.
I agree 100%. And that's why it's really important for us to be media engaged and have folks like you at the table who are making sure that this stays in the community's purview. Because a lot of times what happens with recommendations from inquests is they're really fortified with really great information, but recommendations sit on shelves and don't get moved. And I think that we are trying to continue the momentum in rural communities, especially, and using our media and our partnerships and saying we need to continue the dialogue, and we need to continue this momentum, and we need to talk about it in relation to our province, in relation to the National Action Plan to end gender-based violence, and what will we do next to ensure we honor the work that's gone into these dream recommendations.
Aaron Lee, thank you again for doing this. Next week, we begin taking a look at a very interesting section, measures addressing perpetrators of IPV. When we say they left no stone unturned in these recommendations, we meant it. And next week, we're going to start talking about one of those stones. Aaron, thank you.
Thank you as always.
Aaron Lee, our guest here, as we take a look at another jury inquest recommendation into the Culloden, Cusack, and Wormerdam case of femicide and how to end intimate partner violence in Ontario. I'm Bob Perreault for Lake 88 and LanarkLeadsToday.ca.